Where do they get this nonsense? That we Christians are not the target of the red Antichrist, which will rule the earth in the end of the age. My brethren, that red Antichrist power has done to death upwards of 50 million professing Christians in less than 70 years. In less than what God calls one man's lifetime, more real Christians have been put to death by the red Antichrist than possibly now remain alive upon the earth. Is it possible that although half of the world's Christians have already been martyred, that the half still alive are so deceived by the Antichrist that they actually ignore the evidence of the death of their own brethren during the last 70 years? It seems that that is so. And if all of this is so, that a vast and destructive war is being waged against the saints of the Most High God, and that it is so hidden by confusion and false preaching that most of the saints don't even know they are under attack, is it not also possible that one facet of that secret warfare being waged against them is weather warfare, the manipulation and control of the weather to bring destruction to the land of the Christians, most of whom live in the United States of America? Well, it is so. And if you will write down my address right now and write me and ask for that packet of literature we call the weather packet, I will send you so much evidence of both Soviet and the U.S. manipulation of weather that it will make your head swim. Hopefully, enough to make you ask, what does God have to do with all of this? And get you to reading the Bible for yourself instead of taking someone else's word for it. And by the way, in that packet, we will provide you information on how you can obtain 2 C90 cassettes that I did some years ago titled, It Is God's Battle. And it has to do with this end-of-the-age war by the Red Antichrist against the United States of America. My address again is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Now the other article, the one I read from last week, about the cloud seeding by the United States government, the Mexican government, and some state governments, you will have to obtain from another source, and here is their address. Acres, and that's just like an acre of land, Acres, USA, Post Office Box 9547, Raytown, that's one word, Raytown, Missouri, 64133. Now, in their case, please send them at least $2. Ask for their January 1983, not 1982, but January 1983 issue. And by the way, in addition to this, several pages including photos on the cloud seeding, that January 1983 issue of Acres USA also has a long interview with Eddie Albert, the movie star. Eddie Albert has made quite a study of the poisoning of our air, water, and soil with chemical pesticides, with petroleum-based fertilizers, and so on. And so Acres USA interviewed him. That interview is in the same issue in which they have the satellite photos of the clouds, and the articles would show that cloud seeding caused the blizzards and the floods of 1977 and the blizzards and the floods of December of 1982. Be sure and get this straight. Write me in Phoenix for our free weather packet, which is mostly about Soviet weather manipulation by electromagnetic waves. Write Acres USA for the issue on chemical cloud seeding by the U.S. government. You should send them at least $2. It is a 40-page tabloid-sized newspaper and sells for $1.35 per issue, and they should have extra for postage, of course. Here is their address again, Acres, USA, Post Office Box 9547, Raytown, Missouri, zip code 64133. You should write to them, and of course to us also. The information on this weather control may destroy your faith in the television network weather forecasters, who never ever mention such things as weather experiments, cloud seeding, weather control, electromagnetic waves, and so on. But that is one of the byproducts of learning the truth. Last week I suggested to listeners that they read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 28, for in that chapter Moses gave a summation of the blessings that God's people would have if they obeyed the Bible laws, statutes, and judgments, plus 54 verses of warning of the tribulations and curses which would come upon them if they refused to obey God's laws. One of the blessings for obedience was that God would give their land, quote, rain in its season. In other words, when it was needed. Those who have read our publication on the first American Thanksgiving will remember that the pilgrims declared a day to be set aside for that first Thanksgiving after God answered their prayers for a long and gentle rain after many weeks of drought. We Christians believe that God Almighty is the ultimate weatherman. However, we also believe that God does allow the chastening of His people when their ways are not pleasing in His sight. Enemy weather manipulation to our hurt would be God's chastisement upon us if we would but see it. Anyway, you read all of Deuteronomy 28, and I would also suggest that after I go off the air today, you read the next chapters in Job. I've read parts of Job 37. You should read Job 38 through chapter 40. For those unfamiliar with the story of Job, in chapter 37, Elihu is referring to God's control of the weather and the use of it to reward or to punish whomsoever he chooses. Then in chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41, God speaks to rebuke Job for Job's self-righteousness. And God uses His creation and control of the elements to demonstrate to Job what an insignificant creature Job or any other human is. There is a touch of sarcasm in those four chapters, but they should be read by every science student, for in them the Almighty makes some statements about the physical earth, some of which have been found to be true by scientists only in the last two or three centuries. In other words, they are claims about the actions of the clouds, the earth, animals, and so on, which man did not know to be true 3 millenniums ago when this was written. Now, as scientists can fathom them, every scientific principle stated in Job or anywhere else in the Bible has proven to be correct. In God's rebuke of Job, He asked him in verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Then He described some of the things of the earth that Job could not have known, such as verse 9, "When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it." It was not until the astronauts circled the earth and then flew on to the moon that any human ever saw the earth or a photograph of it that showed the clouds literally as a garment swirling close around the planet Earth. And the astronauts themselves commented at some length on the deep, black darkness that surrounded the Earth as they viewed it from outer space. Man living in the atmosphere upon the Earth did not know that space was pitch black until after he got men and cameras above our atmosphere. Yet God wrote over 3,000 years ago that when He laid the foundations of the earth, He made clouds her garment and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. In verse 25, God asked, "Who divided the watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder?" It was not until the invention of extremely high-speed photography and radio receivers that scientists discovered that a millionth of a second before the visible lightning bolt flashes between earth and clouds, that a high-speed stream of invisible ions creates a path which the lightning bolt then follows. God Almighty spoke of the way for the lightning 3,000 years ago. In verse 31, God asked Job, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Researchers have come to believe in the last century that the star group of Pleiades has an influence upon men upon the earth. And astronomers only in the last 50 years have discovered that the two stars which make up the center or the belt of Orion, the band or the line of the center, is widening by millions of miles every year. Someone loosed the band or the middle of Orion. God asked Job 3,000 years ago if he, Job, could do it. It was a rhetorical question whose answer was no, but God could. And now we are just finding out that he did. In verse 34, God asked Job, "Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of water may cover thee?" In other words, Job, can you make it rain? Job would have admitted that he could not. But there are men on earth today who want to play God with all facets of human and planetary life, from gene engineering to control of laws in opposition to God's laws, and yes, even to control God's weather. You read all of Job 38 through Job 40. It will startle you with the things God said about his creation. And someday, God willing, we may do a series on those chapters, showing how science is only now learning some of the scientific truths revealed to Job by God several millenniums ago. This is Pastor Emery. Write to me for our free weather packet, which includes the detailed study of Soviet electromagnetic transitions, which have affected U.S. and Canadian weather since 1976. Some of this has been reported in newspapers in Canada and a little in Europe. However, American newspapers have given us almost total silence since 1976. The announcer will give my address in just a moment. Remember, you have to write to Acres USA for the article on cloud seeding. The article in our packet is on electromagnetic radio transmissions. Those are two different methods, both designed to affect the weather over North America, and they do. Not for our good, but to bring rain, blizzards, floods, and yes, even droughts, like the long one in 1980, which is described in some detail in our weather packet, showing exactly how Soviet electromagnetic transmissions caused the tremendous drought in central United States that went on for months. When you write, please give me the call letters of the station over which you hear, America's Promise, and please print your name and address so our mailroom staff can decipher the exact numbers and street name and city name so you will be sure and get your material. And if that Soviet satellite comes down anywhere in the United States or Canada, will someone send me any newspaper articles from the area in which it fell? When the one fell in Canada several years ago, it was excused and obscured and hushed up by the U.S. government. This one falling now seems to be the same kind, complete with a nuclear fuel supply and electromagnetic generators. Maybe this time, information on it won't be hidden from the American people by the authorities. Listen now to my announcer and the address. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America. This is Pastor Emery with the third and final broadcast titled, Who is Tampering with God's Weather? We have read God's claim in Job 37 that he controls the rain, the snow, and the cold, and uses the weather for correction, for his land, or for mercy. There is no question America's weather is changing, and not for the better. The United States government is seeding the clouds over the Rocky Mountain state, which causes tornadoes, blizzards, cloudbursts, and massive flooding in the central U.S. Evidence is available that the Soviet Union is carrying out weather modification programs over North America designed to disrupt the weather and destroy America's food production. During the broadcast, I will offer printed material substantiating those claims. And we ask, if God controls the weather, is he allowing others to modify it? And if so, for what purpose? Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emory preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emory will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emory.
Thank you. God Almighty spoke of a time for His people when an alien race and a heathen people would come in among God's people and, quote, "They shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustedest with the sword." End of quote. In the fourth chapter of Amos, the Almighty warned His people there would be those who would oppress the poor and crush the needy. In verse 7 he says, "And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon I rained not withered." So God claims to cause flood or drought as He wishes. In verse 9, He tells those who grow crops that when their crops increase, the palmer worm devoured them. In the second chapter of Joel, the prophet just before Amos, God identifies the palmer worm and the caterpillar in that passage as the bureaucrats, the tax gatherers, and the moneylenders whom He would allow to plunder His people because of their disobedience to His law. In the central United States, tens of thousands of farmers are going bankrupt. Their farms are being taken over by bankers, and they are being forced off their land. The Farm and Home Administration admits that one farm out of 20 with loans through them will be foreclosed in 1983. In some farm areas, foreclosures by local banks will take one farm out of 10, and in a few areas, one farm out of every 5 will go on the auction block before 1984. The combination of drought in 1980, destructive rains, unseasonal freezes, coupled with usury rates on bank loans of from 15% to 20%, have combined to turn fairly prosperous farmers into paupers, many not only without income, but now with the prospect of not even a roof over the head of their family. In Springfield, Colorado, over 300 farmers gathered to protest the bankruptcy foreclosure and sheriff's sale of one man's farm. The police called out their SWAT team, and officers dressed in black with steel helmets, bulletproof vests, riot shotguns and military combat rifles guarded the courthouse so the man's property could be taken from him. When some farmers tried to enter the courthouse to file legal bids on the farm in an attempt to save it for the farmer, they were tear-gassed and maced by police and driven from the building. The moneylenders now have that man's property, and they are taking tens of thousands of other farms all across America. In Micah 2, God says, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon the bed." Or to put it another way, "Woe to them that lie away nights planning evil." He goes on, "When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. And here is the evil they practice." This is Micah 2, verse 2. "They covet fields and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress man and his house, even a man and his heritage." The margin in my Bible says that word oppress could be translated defraud. In that case it would read, "So, or by that, they defraud a man and his house or household, even a man and his heritage. They take away his land and his household by wicked acts." Those who have listened in the past to my broadcast on the banker's money system know those moneylenders who are now foreclosing on those farms actually create that credit on their books. It is not money, and it does not cost them anything to create it, yet they lend it to the farmers and homeowners, and they are forced to pay 15% and 20% usury on it. When bad weather comes, or prices are artificially depressed, the farmers can't pay the usury, and the bank then takes the land and buildings, the real wealth from the farmer. In effect, the farmer has been defrauded of his fields, his house, and his heritage. That method of money fraud is another subject, however. In this series, I am primarily discussing the weather. However, in many areas, it is the destructive weather which has caused the farmer or the owner of the land enough loss so that he will then lose his land, and the money lender is the beneficiary. He gains farms and houses as a result or a consequent of the weather destruction. I am going to give my address right now for you to write me and ask for my free packet of literature we call our weather packet. This packet includes some rather detailed studies to prove that both the United States government and the Soviet Union are carrying out massive weather control programs over the United States. And those weather control programs have caused much of the destructive weather we have had since 1977. The Soviet Union actually began its weather control programs over North America in 1976. So far, most Americans are totally ignorant of this, although a few newspapers have carried tiny stories from time to time which revealed parts of the weather control program. We have reprinted a few of these, and we also have a lengthy study put together by another man titled The Weather War Devastation of America. In the packet, we will also have an interview with a former U.S. Navy weather expert who verifies that weather modification programs are going on all of the time. All of these are in our weather packet. Write me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Some may think because Pastor Emery tells you that the Soviet Union is causing blizzards and floods, yes, and even drought in the United States, that God Almighty has lost control of His creation. No, that is not the case. However, Christians should know the truth of what is going on in their beloved country, or else they are blind to both what their enemies are doing and what God Almighty is doing. I'll read a small section out of that study titled The Weather War Devastation of America in a few moments. That is in our weather packet. First, my address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The weather packet is free. And by the way, please print your name and address when you write. Every month we get a few requests that no one in the mailroom can decipher, and that person does not get the literature they ask for, and possibly complain to their neighbors that Pastor Emery offers literature and then do not send it. No, we do send it, but some of you products of modern education write so atrociously that we can't read it. So please print your name and address, or better yet, type it. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All right, we just read in the Bible that God Almighty causes it to rain upon one city and sends drought upon another. Now let me read a little from this lengthy report on weather control programs of the Soviet Union. This was first published in America in 1981, so as I read, remember, this is not current. It does describe what happened before then, and they have probably improved their techniques by now. Some of this uses technical and scientific terms, which may not be understood by the layman. However, a reading of the entire article will help you understand it. This is dated February 1981 and begins, quote, "There is new and overwhelming evidence that the disastrous weather of 1980 and 1981 is the direct result of a massive manipulation of world weather patterns by the Soviet Union. In two previous issues, we presented evidence that the USSR has adopted and updated the work of Nikola Tesla. Around 1900, that great inventor devised a system to transmit power which involved the use of extreme low-frequency electromagnetic frequencies called ELF. By use of certain ELF transmissions, Tesla demonstrated that it is possible to create gigantic electromagnetic standing waves, which can be used for modifying weather patterns. The devastation in 1980 and 81 has been a strong departure from normal U.S. weather patterns. Records prove that these extreme changes in the U.S. weather began only after the Soviets commenced their ELF transmissions in 1976 and 77. The main effort to expose the Soviet manipulation of American weather has been led by Dr. Andrew Michalski, a technology specialist in the Canadian State Department and the scientific organization he helped to establish, the Planetary Association for Clean Energy, or PACE. Dr. Andrew Michalski and a group of scientists monitored the Soviet transmissions from various stations all over Canada. He wrote a February 1978 letter describing how the USSR set up giant standing waves. Quote, in the case of the winter of 1976-77, the Soviets have managed to establish terrestrial electronic resonance and then to learn how to establish relatively stable and localized ELF, that's extremely low frequency, magnetic fields which were able to hamper or divert the jet stream flow in the northern hemisphere, end of quote. And I will interrupt here to suggest that you watch the television weather news, especially when they show the path of this jet stream. Normally, it goes from west to east over the northern U.S. and into Canada. Once in a while, TV weather news will show that jet stream making a sharp turn south into the United States, and once in a while, all the way to the Gulf Coast. They will not tell you why it does that. That 1,000 mile to 1,500 mild diversion of a half a continent of Arctic air is not natural. It is caused by Soviet electromagnetic transmissions. If it is then coupled with cloud seeding by the United States or weather modification programs in the western states, not only will it bring frost and heavy blizzards, it can bring destructive wind, hail, and even tornadoes in the wintertime. Something unheard of in the central United States before 1976. And by the way, some newspapers carry weather maps and occasionally show the route of the jet stream. Watch it for those wild fluctuations. Most newspapers will not even breathe that the Soviet Union might be up to some form of weather control. However, in November 16, 1980, Washington Post, a Bob Ryan who forecasts weather over TV station WRC in Washington, D.C., was quoted as writing about 1980 as the hottest weather ever recorded in America, and then he said this, quote, the jet stream, a river of high-speed air about 8 miles above us, has been up to some wild antics the past few years. Ryan then added, the jet stream occurs at the boundary of the two great air masses that govern our weather in the northern latitudes, the polar air mass to the north and the tropical air mass to the south. The cold polar air expands and contracts as the seasons progress, and the jet stream at its southern boundary migrates south or north. The greater temperature contrast from north to south, the greater the amplitude of the undulations of the jet stream. And then he concludes, quote, over the past few years, these undulations or waves in the jet stream have been of unusually large amplitude, sweeping the jet stream further north or south. As a result, there has been a tremendous contrast in weather and extremes in weather, end of quote from Ryan. About 2 months later, the February 2, 1981 Washington Post stated, quote, "For the past 4 months, a single weather pattern has gripped virtually the entire United States, causing a coast-to-coast drought unique in the annals of weather recording." Remember, this is the fall of 1980. The article goes on. "The weather system causing the drought is one of the most unusual national patterns ever recorded." Now, here is a similar quote from an issue of Time magazine just 2 weeks before that. Quote, "In the West, a ridge of high pressure has hovered nearly 800 miles off the California coast for the past 2 months, blocking the usual flow of air from the Pacific and keeping the area drier and warmer than usual. Meanwhile, the jet stream that moves eastward across the continent and down from Canada is bringing drier air than usual to the northeastern U.S. The jet stream has not looped out far enough to keep up warm air from the Gulf of Mexico," end of quote from Time magazine. Now let me quote some information from this Mikrosky again about why that air in the fall of 1980 remained stationary over the United States for 2 months, something unheard of in previous weather reporting. Mikrosky described how stationary fronts, that's the blocking mechanism, were set up over the west coast of North America between Baja California and the Alaskan coast, which permitted great diversion of air movement and the maintenance of high and low pressure areas. He continues, quote, "In the case of the winter of 1977 and 78, the Soviet scientists involved had the ingenious idea of setting up one series of standing columnar waves that extend from the westerly tip of Alaska all the way to Valparaiso, Chile. This columnar wave front was projected from near Angar, Siberia." Dr. Mikrosky continues, "It created a worldwide weather modification. To the east of this formation, the weather is drier." Remember, this was off the coast of California in 77, 78 on through 80. "To the east of this formation, the weather is drier, and west of it, precipitation is enhanced," end of quote. And I must interrupt again because I have some personal knowledge of these stationary weather patterns. During that extended drought in 1980 in Texas, Oklahoma, and the adjoining central states, my wife and I were watching television one evening, and the weatherman pointed to a large, high-pressure system centered over eastern Texas, encompassing about 10 states. And after he said that that high-pressure system was the cause of this long drought, he said this, and this is an exact quote, "That high-pressure system is expected to remain there for another 6 weeks," end of quote. Now, weathermen can't tell you the weather 6 days in advance, yet here was a national weather forecaster telling us that that one mass of air would remain over Texas for 6 weeks. Now, whoever wrote his report knew something that you and I didn't know. As the New York Times said, and every schoolboy knows, our air masses move slowly from west to east all of the time. Great air masses do not remain stationary over a 1,000-mile area of the United States unless something or someone is affecting them. Obviously, whoever wrote that weather report knew in advance that high-pressure front would stay right where it was for 6 weeks. And it did, and the drought continued, and thousands of farmers lost their whole 1980 crop. Here are some more quotes which are in this Weather War article that will be in our packet. This is one from the Washington Post again. Roland Lofredo, chief hydrologist of the National Weather Service, stated, quote, "This is very unusual, a very unique weather pattern for the nation. I've never seen anything like it, and I don't think anyone else has either," end of quote. The Washington Post commented on his comments. According to several meteorologists who have analyzed the situation, there are two reasons for the current weather pattern, both extremely unusual. First, there are two very large and very persistent high-pressure systems that have planted themselves over the West Coast and the Rocky Mountains and remained there for 4 months. In America, such long-lived weather centers were almost unheard of until 1977, when a similar one blocked the West Coast for months. Last summer, another pressed down on the Midwest and part of the East, causing record high temperatures and continuing the water deficit that began the previous winter, end of quote. Now, the fact that the Washington Post stated that these long-lived weather centers were unheard of until 1977 is extremely significant, for it was 1976 that the Soviets perfected their ELF transmissions, where they were able to block the movement of a half a continent of air and hold it in one place or divert the jet stream from Alaska and Canada down over the U.S. Now, that is enough on the weather. All of these quotes and many, many more are in this article that is in our weather packet. The article is titled, The Weather War Devastation of America. I imagine I read about one-tenth of that to you. The rest of it will be in the packet if you will write me and ask for it. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And my address will be repeated in a few minutes at the end of the broadcast. As God Almighty lost control of His weather to the wiles and plans of evil men who want to destroy God's country, the United States of America? Or is God Almighty allowing these things to happen to us because we will not obey His word? In Deuteronomy 28, God gave Israel a promise and a warning, a promise of blessing for obedience to His laws, a warning of curses if they refuse to obey. One of the promised blessings for obedience is in verse 12, The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season. Rain when the land needs it. Now we find we often have no rain when we need it, and then we get rain, snow, and blizzards when we do not need it. Again, I suggest you read all of Deuteronomy 28. You might be startled to find that God warned of the following if we refuse to obey His laws, statutes, and judgments: pestilence or runaway diseases, floods and rain to destroy the land, defeat in war, an increase in mental illness, unfaithful wives, adultery and divorce, confiscation of your property by other people, and control of our sons and daughters would pass to other people. He didn't say whether by drugs, alcohol, corrupting movies, immoral sex education, Planned Parenthood, or whatever. Are we suffering from what the Almighty warned our fathers about 3 millenniums ago that would come to pass upon His people if we refuse to obey His word? In verses 37 through 42 of Deuteronomy 28 is a word picture of bureaucrats and tax gatherers stealing the people's land. And then listen to this, verse 43 and 44 of Deuteronomy 28. The stranger that is within thee, that means the alien of another race, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. That's Deuteronomy 28, verse 43 and 44. Whether it is rain, blizzards, frost, floods, drought, or the usury of the money changers, Americans are losing their homes, farms, even businesses, and are being put out on the street. All across the South, even in my own city, the homeless and the destitute are coming, living under freeway overpasses, on vacant lots, in their cars in the desert, wherever they can get out of the wind and find some protection over their head. Did I hear someone say, well, we can never have a depression like the 30s? My friends, we are already headed that way. And for the family that has lost job and home or farm, they are already in the 30s. is God Almighty speaking to America. Perhaps if we listen real close, we shall hear him. This is Pastor Emery. Sit down right now and write to me for my free weather packet with the information about the weather control program of the Soviet Union, Electromagnetic Wave Transmission, Shades of Buck Rogers. No wonder Jesus said these days that they would have to be shortened, else no flesh would be saved. This is the last broadcast on weather, and the last time I'll be offering the free weather packet. When you write, please tell me the call letters of the radio station over which you heard this broadcast. That helps us evaluate our radio outlets. And I remind you again, please print or type your name and address so that we can be sure and read it and send it back to the correct place. When I return next week, God willing, I will continue our study on America's Christian origins. Tune in then. Stay tuned now for my announcer. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.